Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to learn, how can we make our life better? How can we improve our relationships with all the people around us so that we'll get up in the morning with a big smile and feel happy, and to feel that all the people around us are on our side and we're on theirs, and in general, to feel that life is flowing and going well instead of things getting stuck and, you know, life being difficult. Be with us. It's going to be really fun. Nitza, please. Yeah. On our previous talks, we talked about falling in love and about the tremendous force that exists in falling in love, because these are the forces that motivate all of us. It's an inner drive. We identify different elements that we don't know how to properly work with. You mentioned that in falling in love, there's that there's an attracting force, the force of passion on the one hand, and on the other hand, a more inner feeling that wants to connect, that wants to establish an intimate connection. And today, these are the components that we'd like to talk about, the components of love, because we understand that there are probably several forces and elements that we don't exactly know how to work with, and that's why we're having difficulties in building a relationship, due to which we've reached a crisis in love as well. Right. And we do understand that probably love is a kind of artistry that we need to learn how to love. First of all, to define what love is, because what we think about love is not love at all. It's a kind of sexual yearning that erupts from the inside, and I need to fulfill it like any other living being. Okay, so what's the relationship between falling in love and love? No connection. No connection. Because this is not love. And this is why we reached the great big crisis that we're in, because we start attributing sexual passion to love. That surely we need to fulfill it, like any other passion that we have for food, for family, other passions for money, honor, knowledge, power. It's a passion, a yearning that exists especially in human beings, because in animals it works according to seasons, etc., etc. It's instinctive, obviously, just in order to keep the species developing, going. But in us, this passion erupts regardless of time, because we're above time, we're disconnected from time. So by time, you mean the seasons of the year. Yeah. And so, but from all researches, we see that this thing develops along with us, this yearning, this passion. There were times that it took on different forms, like in Greece and in Rome, where homosexuality was in fashion. Later, other things were in fashion, were fashionable. Religion inserted rules of its own into it, etc., etc. But all in all, when we develop as a result of our desire developing from generation to generation, our ego developing based on that, or riding on that, also develops our sexual drive and also any other yearning that we have for food, for family. We really change according to the fundamental changes that we go through in our desire, in our egoistic desire to fulfill ourselves. So on the one hand, we see that we can't hold together too long. We talked about it, that today researches show that We can't be together for more than 3 or 4 years. Suddenly, a few years down the line, something erupts in us that we need to break up the relationship, the connection. And therefore, today we see that the demand for family, also public opinion, is inclined towards that a person can be without a family or change, switch, get divorced several times, and renew the family, etc., etc. We also live double the time than we used to live 100 years ago. So, accordingly, I have more problems. And besides, there's no connection between sex and family, and sex and love. No connection. Because if I'm talking about sex, it is a sheer bodily yearning or drive. Now, if I look at that yearning, also according to the values of society, and more correctly, if I correctly understand myself, then according to my inner yearning, and then I see a certain object that suits me in order to relieve myself. And we call it love, but of course it is not love. That we're controlled by our hormones. This is completely not the love that we suddenly get confused with and want to relate to sex. It's a desire in and of itself that there's room for, of course, on the normal, ordinary level. But if we want to talk about love, that's something that is unrelated to any previous thing, meaning not to sex and not to anything. To family, yes. Unrelated completely, or we can say that upon that we need to add another level, or it's completely unrelated. Sex joins love that you build completely regardless of your hormones, and then you can build something beautiful, strong, deep, eternal. So a good and loving connection that can be strong doesn't necessarily need to start from falling in love or no, not at all. It is a completely different trajectory of connection. And this is something that you need to teach. Because it's developing new relations that are above our ego, above our desires. It's a yearning, a desire for an inner connection with a person that for you becomes a friend, someone that gives you a sense of confidence, security, lends a shoulder, completes you, understands you, accompanies you for an infinite period of time. But it's on condition that it's unrelated to something that comes and goes, and that could happen at the same time with several other people, like sex, like we say, I feel like it. And today we see that it's something very open, and this is something that love can't dwell in or upon. Only if there is love, an inner connection between people, then sex can join that. So it's very interesting. It's a thing in its opposite. Yeah, so the more a person develops, the greater his passions, his drive becomes. Do we eat the same as we did 100 or 200 years ago? Back then, there were simple things. 500 years ago, what did people eat? Even kings. What kind of food did they have? As opposed to the food that today every average family has, it's 100 times richer food and everything. You have 100 different kinds of juice in the supermarket, and cottage cheese, and meat, and fish, but this is what you used to have. People ate things that were far more simple. Okay, if we're talking about lust or passion or desire, There's a perception that says that desire is a physiological, hormonal awakening in the body, that suddenly I feel that I'm, that someone turns me on. There's habit. There are people that are accustomed to and accustom themselves to the relationship with a specific partner. There are those that like the same partner in order to fulfill their sexual needs. There are those that can't be with the same partner. This is how they're built. They need to have a few, or maybe not a few, but every time something new, someone new. We see it. It's something that you can't uproot. We see that there are different, as if distortions here, as if such changes, different as of unusual things. But today we say, no, it's normal, because it comes from nature to a person, suppose like a homosexual desire or a lesbian desire, on the other hand, etc., etc. These are things that we can increase or decrease by injecting hormones, etc., etc. It is a bodily action that, just like with food, with the feeling of hunger, we need to, as if, provide a person with society needs to be built in such a way that a person will have the ability to also fulfill the needs of his body in this way too. So, there are the traits that a person is born with, that he's drawn to some specific inner structure or something, and there's also society and the way it thinks and behaves and the way that influences my traits. I don't really understand the connection between the two, the inner and the external, exterior. I didn't exactly understand your question. I'll try to ask again. Previously explained that I have certain aspirations, yearnings that I'm born with or that develop throughout my childhood or throughout life. These are my inner inclinations, and there's also how society influences me. Right. What society influences is the expression, the way that those natural passions of yours, drive of yours, will express itself. Suppose I like eating certain things. By nature, I'm more drawn to, I don't know, things made of flour, and someone's more drawn to fish, etc., etc. Even if he didn't get some kind of specific direction or education from society, from childhood. They're kids, you know, they say, I don't want this, I don't want that. And you see it from a young age, I don't eat that. And others, to the contrary, you see it in kindergartens very clearly. And here we see that even though that society has an influence over a person, but it can't really influence a person and really change these things. But habits are habits that dress on a person's natural desire. And it depends on the type of body that he has. Is he more inclined toward protein or something else? And these are well-known things. It's even related to a person's blood type. There are researches about it. We won't get into it. But it's the same in relation to sexual desire, that by nature, that's how I'm built already. It's very much related to heredity. You can see it according to the father, grandfather, etc., etc. And you see it on the child too, on the teenager. And even though that there are, how to say, different environmental influences, they too can't so much change the sexual expression. Because that's how a person is by nature, and this is how he needs to carry it out, just like eating habits. And more or less, this is how everyone, or how it works out for everyone. And the greater the desire, the higher the desire, then society can also change it and influence it, and habit becomes in second nature, and food and sex and family and everything. But I put all these things, food and sex and family, I put them completely aside, and I relate it to a person's body without relating any other significance to it. I always gave an example from my childhood that my mom, who did research, she was a gynecologist, and she did research in the field of sex. How she told at home, she told dad at home, and I was about 9 or 10, I heard it. And so she said that with the help of injections, she was able to save someone's family life, that the man's sexual desire rose to a degree where she was really able to keep the family together. But she talked about love. And then I innocently asked, today kids at the ages of 9 or 10 aren't that innocent anymore. So I asked, how is that? What kind of injection is that? It's like a miracle that you give someone an injection in the butt and suddenly he's in love. It's like a cartoon. Suddenly, how could that be? And so she explained to me, from what I could understand back then, that it was truly a bodily matter. And back then it was very hard for me to accept that. But it's love and sex and a relationship from heart to heart between people. And here suddenly, with the help of some kind of injection, some chemistry, and it was hard for me to digest it. But I really accepted it as a bodily matter, and I think that this education is something that youth are really lacking. Not only youth. Yeah, these are very clear matters, and maybe it's, you know, it's, we feel good about getting confused about it, and that's why we don't want to address these things, because what about the Hollywood movies then, et cetera, et cetera, because people relate love to sexual passion. When you talk about love, you're talking about developing new relations altogether, and you said that it's an inner connection with another person that becomes like my friend, gives me a sense of confidence, becomes my friend, accompanies me, etc., etc. But it's a friend of the opposite sex that's also of the opposite sex of my soul, as if that I feel that we complete each other internally. But then it's no longer a sexual desire or yearning. Right. But I can't complete it with another man. With another man, that's something else. Another man is a real friend, chaver in Hebrew, from the word chibur, connection. And there too you have the word love. And here you have the word love. But here, it's a love that is supported by nature. Because with that same person, I complete both the food, the sex, and the family. With that same person, if necessary, I'm going to also achieve money, honor, and knowledge. All of my yearnings, aspirations, and that same connection called love, true inner love, I realize it with them. So real inner love is a kind of realm in which I can express all of my desires, passions. Yes, and there's room for the woman in relation to me or the other way around. But besides that, when we say love, we mean an inner connection, mutual connection between people. That suppose I have many friends and I can be internally connected with them, and then between us develops a feeling called love, that if I wish to fulfill the other person, the other person's deficiencies, desires, and I'm capable of doing it, it means that I love them. And usually it's something mutual. So what I'd like for us to focus on here is the relationship between spouses of the opposite sex. This picture that you've just described, it sounds like a very intimate relationship between spouses. Intimate, meaning that a third party can't enter, and no one sees it, no one can feel how much they're really inside of each other. It's a kind of a copy of the corporeal coupling, but only in a mental way, emotional way. That as if the corporeal coupling awakens in us, should awaken in us, a kind of yearning, desire for this kind of game, for searching for this kind of lack in each other. What do you mean by lack? A hunger for connection, inner connection. And how do we find what would the other like to get from me? How can I fulfill the other? Help. How do we find inner mutual hollows inside of each other without which we feel empty? It's not something bodily, like the bodily connection that we have between the male and female and the living species, but it needs to be on the emotional level, on the level of the soul. Psychologists call the kind of connection that you've described as romantic love, and it has two components. The one is their romantic love is based on hormones. And for me, first of all, this love, and then later the hormones, the other way around. Yes, this is very important to understand because this is one of the paradigms that are very common in mankind in general. I don't think that we need to specify on it. This is in between us because nonetheless we see, if we're talking to the point, that when we approach people and if we want to create an inner connection between them, then we already see that there's a physical connection between them, hormonal connection, and we need to deepen the connection. We need to go in the as-if natural way. Okay, so to follow on this line, after the stage of where you're turned on is over, then comes the romantic stage, which consists of two parameters. The one is the sexual desire, and the other is the desire to develop the intimate connection. I don't think that it exists. There is such a desire. In order to develop this desire, besides the desire that maybe exists in each of them, because they watch romantic movies, they watch it and it seems to them so nice and pretty and I want it too. But what they don't understand is that in order to really implement it, realize it in life, you need lots of efforts and mutual understanding and to put to death one's own ego and to allow the other to enter me and that I will gently be able to enter them as well. So this is exactly our topic now. We would like to build a certain process that suppose it could be like a workshop for building an intimate relationship. This is like the heart of the matter. How do we start building between two people an intimate connection? How does it work? How do we start? Where do we start? It happens as a result of us. These are both workshops and also talks. Talks about the nature of man, man's psychology, everything that we talked about up until now, but a bit more elaborately. It's also our soul, meaning this desire, passion. Where does it come from? It's something that is typical only of the humankind. What passion? Love. Romantic love, you mean. So be it. Romantic love. better say internal love, to tell it apart from what we have, from the common knowledge of what love is. So, along with the explanations, you need to give them workshops for them to talk about it. The result of the workshop, besides them repeating the material that they hear, they should also search inside of themselves for how can they create that hollow, that void. A yearning for love in each and every one. This on the one hand. That's the hollow. When you say hollow, you mean to find the desire for love inside of me. Yes, that this is how I want to be loved. And also from that, the way I want to be loved. Because it says, love another as yourself. By examining how much I would like for the other to fulfill me, enter me, how they really not only fulfills me, but cares, strengthens, supports. It's like a mom that's in constant care of her baby and understands me and really is in anticipation of discovering more and more abilities to bestow to me, opportunities to bestow to me, giving me a sense of security, warmth, an embrace, inner fulfillment. And from that, according to the rule of love another as yourself, the way you want to be loved, now develop the same attitude toward another and understand that in the other there's also the same yearning and the same desire for the same things, just like you have. Only everything in a bit of a different style, maybe. Because still, we're different people nonetheless. All the more, we come from different sexes. But the relation, the attitude, is actually the same. The other person wants the same, too, only in a bit of a different way. And then from love another as yourself, that exactly in this way, I come from myself to the other, to my spouse. In this way, I start. And this is something that we scrutinize in a workshop. And then we scrutinize, what might it be? How will I discover this passion in the other? How can we start entering each other? How will I reveal this yearning in the other? It's really like an ant in an apple. Really so. Not that I go in, but I enter there in order to fulfill the hollow. Not that I make the hollow. And also make a hollow. The truth is that we also need to build this deficiency. It's like an appetite before a meal. Because to begin with, we don't have that. We don't exactly understand what that is. So each builds that, examines that. I examine it in myself, try to build it in the other. And your partner in you, and then in this mutual way, we suddenly start discovering that we have these kinds of big hollows on the inside. That's called the soul, real hollows. That this is really besides the animate level in me, that I fulfill myself on the bodily level, earthly level, human level. This desire is really the biggest desire in mankind. That this is really what we need. And if a person can fulfill this desire, that both he is fulfilled and he can fulfill others, then he has no other deficiencies, desires, inner hollows. In that, he receives complete satisfaction, fulfillment. This is how we're made. And therefore, I'd say that the entire problem in mankind, that we erupt in terrorism and wars and power struggles and pride, and we fight and everything, is that we're incapable of both building these hollows, revealing them. They're in us in some hidden, exist in us in some hidden and empty way, form. And if this is something that we start taking care of, then by that we give complete treatment. Only by that. I'm sure that as a result of that, different illnesses, problems, mutations, deviations in mankind, it will all calm down. We won't need to run after thousands of types of food and trips and eruptions of different sorts, but we'll be engaged in it because this is the highest artistry. This is the upper, higher culture. Everything will be about that. And that will start understanding each other. We'll start seeing people through different eyes. Because I'll see that a person has this kind of love towards someone, towards his friends, towards his spouse, suppose. So he'll look completely different. And then the relations between us will be different too. That's called love covers all crimes. That we have plenty and plenty of different deficiencies and problems in society and whatnot. And we turn to drugs and suicide and despair and everything. Love can cover for all of these crimes. But love, not sex. Sex comes in here as a short, negative stimulation that with it brings plenty of additional problems. But you're not against sex. No, but in the way that it is now, it brings many additional problems. So if I understand correctly, you're talking about the artistry of love as something that can, as a mankind, can bring us to a new degree of relations between people, that I'll feel that this is a person that has love in his life and this one isn't, and then it will also affect the way I relate to that person, connect to them. So this is something very fundamental, basic. And so I'd like to deepen on this. You talked about a technology that you call love another as yourself, and you talked about a two-stage process. The one is that I need to do something about myself, this I understand, I'll explain in a moment, and the other stage that I didn't exactly understand, how, from what I understood about myself, do I make a projection onto my spouse. You said in the first stage you have to look at yourself and remember, like, you called it love another as yourself, like, you want to be loved, like mom loved you, etc., etc. We're sitting in a workshop. Maybe women understand it more quickly. As a man, what you have for children. Yeah, you saw how a baby is in his mother's hands. No, with that stage, no problem. I can to depict how I want to be loved. That was easy. Why do we grow? Why do babies that are neglected, that aren't taken care of, don't grow? They become ill. Yeah, it's a matter of relation, of how you treat them, right? Mom's love, this is what makes a baby grow. You grow out of the feeling of love, that I'm loved. Yes, you feel it. You're a piece of flesh. on her hands, on mom's hands, but you know nothing, but you feel like a little animal. You feel the love. Imagine yourself now that you are in these kinds of hands. And start feeling. We're in a workshop, right? Yeah. Start describing to us, what does it mean that you feel that you're loved that way? What kind of hollows do we fill in you? What do you feel? Delve into yourself and start revealing to us what is love. But many words, many impressions, excitements, not just a few words and that's that, but reveal. Start from starting to inquire yourself now. You will start understanding that in the other person, there are the same hollows, the same deficiencies for relation. Start filling them like a mother toward her baby. Start. So this is the leap where I lost you. You said, first of all, this is called love another as yourself. Yeah, but the technology started with as yourself. Right. Where will you get an example from? So here I'm with you, no problem. I have a certain emotional world that awakens in me. When you describe this situation, I felt, first of all, like waves of big waves of warmth coming, soothing me. And suddenly I start feeling that I'm filled with strength, that I have the ability to do anything, that it like gives me a sense of confidence, like I'm protected, and it allows me like a flower to come out of the ground and flourish and realize everything that's in me in an unbounded way, that I grow and grow and it nourishes me. Now, all these things that I feel in relation to myself, right? That's as yourself. That's the effect of mom's love toward me. Yeah. This is exactly how she develops, grows me. That's probably the process through which a person grows. Now, here there's a leap that I don't understand. Okay, so besides that, there is another workshop, a series of workshops in which we discover what is this feeling of love that I feel? What is it expressed then? In what? This feeling. And that I feel fulfillment from the other person for all of my yearnings, desires, hollows that initially are felt empty in me, meaning the baby is born. He already has a desire to be taken care of. And that's why he feels mom's love. He cries, mom takes him on her hands. Nothing happens, but he already calms down. Why? What happened? He doesn't hear, he doesn't see, he doesn't anything, but immediately calms down. He breathes in her smell like an animal. Ah. Meaning, the deficiency for love is born along with us. We have that yearning when we're still inside the womb for love. Yeah, for love. For love meaning to be taken care of. So, on these first workshops, I need to understand what types of deficiencies are there in me that I can fill only by the other person's attitude towards me, called love. What do I scrutinize? I now want to scrutinize. What are these deficiencies? What do you mean by deficiencies? Desires, negative feelings that need to reach some kind of fulfillment. That I lack. Yeah, that you lack. So, I want to scrutinize now, what am I lacking that only the other person can fulfill, that only a mother can fulfill, my mother, only a mother. What does a little child need? Give him everything besides mom. No, what he needs is his mom. Give him, I don't know, the entire world. No mom. he feels it. This is a sign that what we're missing is love as the main basic thing for grown-ups too. We, from the beginning to the end of life, need to be constantly accompanied by this feeling of love. So we're born with a need for love, yes, but we block it because we don't tend to it. The more we disconnect from the mother, like any other animal, because the more I go and grow, the less I need for her to take care of me. And we move apart. It's like with animals that for half a year or a year that the offsprings or the cubs, etc., are next to the mother. The father leaves practically immediately, and the mother after a year, I suppose. And then they no longer know each other. They can even meet again later on down the line and have children together. The child with the mother, they're so disconnected from one another. And for us, this is an example that we naturally grow apart from our parents. And so what do we need to do? Especially in integral education, we need to develop this in relation to the parents, but right now we're talking about couples. So we need to understand that in the measure to which we disconnect from the parents, we need to develop in children, in youth, in more and more mature people to scrutinize the desire in them, deficiency for a connection called love. And society and the spouse, all in all, the attitude toward the entire universe needs this relation, this entire universe, let's say, the still, the vegetative, animate, all of mankind, need to fulfill me with this feeling of mom. Nature is called Mother Nature. Why? Because the general relation from nature needs to be that way toward me too, as well. So again, we're going back to the workshop. So we, on the workshop, first of all, we stimulate a person, awaken him, to examine what does it mean that you are small in the hands of mom, that you grow up a bit and mom plays with you. What does she give you? What kind of warmth? What sense of security, confidence? How does she take care of you? Because anything that you don't know and don't know how to do, she does for you. So much so that you can't eat solid food, she does it for you. You can't wash yourself, she does, etc., etc. All these things. Meaning, taking care of that which, first of all, I can't do, and the other fulfills me with it. Meaning, in the deficiency that I now, the lack that I now discover for relation from the other person, this lack, first of all, is felt as the inability to fulfill this lack myself. Again, like a baby or a little child can't do for himself what his mom does, the same deficiency that we reveal for love from the other person, I can't love myself, I can't fulfill myself in that way. Only the other can. Only the friend or the spouse, that in this case is also called a friend, only they can fulfill me. So, like the mom completes, when I'm small, when I'm little, I know how to eat. She gives me a waffle, I eat it. She gives me a bottle, I drink. But how to wash myself, I don't know. So she comes and does it. So she completes what you can't do by yourself. And how's that related to your spouse? That the hollows that we discover in ourselves, which are called a desire for love, deficiency for love, I can't fulfill them by myself. I need for someone to give me this as if mother's relation?
What, for example?
Everything.
Appreciation, security, a feeling that I'm special, that I'm beautiful. Mom always told me how beautiful you are.
Well,
for a mom, that's always how it is, obviously. Et cetera, et cetera. Meaning to complete the other in whatever they lack. That we're not encouraged, that we don't get encouragement. This is something that we suffer from our entire life. And we're not receiving it because the more we grow up, the further we move away from our mom physically because we no longer need for her to take care of us. And we don't compensate for these things with the help of the environment, the spouse, the friends. This is how it was in tribes, in ancient societies. There was compensation because a child grew up in a large family that took care of him. He was with everyone together, with all of his friends, with all the grown-ups. So he got this feeling of a society, of love, of care and everything. It was all mixed. There wasn't the stage of disconnection. Right. And therefore, people were more complete. Well, also, the desire wasn't as developed as it is now. They were more natural, more complete, also calmer. We aren't. From childhood, we really grow up in a way in which we feel more and more that we're really crippled, that we're lacking the main fulfillment that society is not providing us with because society developed in an egoistic way. Back there, you didn't have an egoistic society because the tribes, they lived in a way of everything for everyone, everyone's equal, etc., etc. Once the ego started separating people from Babylon and on, then we are already in a big lack of love. But there, it was natural. We grew up that way, and also this how our family members were, and the relations between the couples, everything was more natural. Once the ego grew, it started already giving us this emptiness, a lack of love.
And therefore, from Abraham and on, from that division, what did they say about it in Babylon? That they all spoke one language and they were as one nation as if. And afterwards, when the ego already started separating people,
then to that extent,
these hollows started in everyone in relation to love too. And in contrast with that, came Abraham and said, love another as yourself. By this, you complete and supplement for everything.
You're talking about the growth of the ego here, and I call it a process of becoming more individualized. We're not going against becoming more individualized. To the contrary, each opens an even greater void, hollow, becoming even more unique, even more special. Therefore, precisely when we say that we as if need to go back to being as one man and one heart and connection and everything,
the individualism remains. The individual remains really as is. We keep it, protect it. For a person to discover even greater hollows inside himself, a greater yearning to be fulfilled by the other and for the other to know how to fulfill them. And when we really discover these inner hollows, we discover that only all of humanity can fulfill them, not my spouse alone, but all of humanity. Through that, through the spouse, that this is why we're arranged this way, that this is our initial preliminary connection. But through it, I start discovering that there are other things that I can't fulfill only by her. I need friends, I need society, I need all of humanity. And then my love broadens. Of course, it's supported based on the family as the initial cell. But really,
it reaches an extent where I truly start feeling that in that hollow that opened up in me now, this is where I live, in this new feeling. And that's actually called the life of a human being, in mutual love, in mutual connections, because then the space in me expands. It doesn't become individual, only mine, personal, because in it I feel the influence of others, and from it I bestow onto others, because like yourself, it's something that remains mutually all the time, because otherwise I can't feel them and they don't feel me. My love towards others becomes my fulfillment, the measure to which I love others and fulfill them, it fulfills me. It really becomes one and the same, that there's no difference between loving others or they love me. It all becomes something common. And then all of our hollows start connecting, all of our lacks, both in desires as a hollow, as a void, and also as a fulfillment. And where is our corporeal part on the animate level and fulfilling sex and food and family and all that?
It becomes merely something that accompanies you.
The first scrutiny that you led me to in the workshop was, what kind of void is there in me? You called it a lack of love that I can't fill by myself and I need for someone to fill it for me. You want for me to feel that place in me. You're carrying it with you from the moment the drop of seeds start developing in the womb. Let's say from the moment you're born. Okay, from the moment I'm born, there's this empty space in me that at first mom filled it, and as I disconnected from mom, society needed to fulfill it, but it didn't. Let's have a workshop that were as if living in a tribe. All the kids are roaming around between all the men and women, and it's all one, and the relations between everyone are equal, like one big family, clan. So, of course, what I don't get from mom naturally, they fulfill me with, this is my entire world, and the entire world is friendly toward me. Where I grew up, it was kind of similar. If my parents aren't at home for some reason, I go to the neighbors to eat, as if it's my home, my house. I know how she made her food. I still remember the taste of my neighbor's food. Okay, you were on a roll. So now we're having this workshop where we're living like in a clan and extended family. A person doesn't feel that he disconnects from something. His desires grow in quantity and quality, and society fulfills them. And therefore, he's devoted to his society and loves everyone. And also, by receiving from everyone, he also needs to give to everyone. There's no such thing as sudden betrayal or aloofness or someone hates someone. No. It's all natural, because this love that you get, it doesn't give you the ability simply to do things that are against the environment, against society. It simply wins you over, and that's that. You're with them, naturally connected in such a way. So this, the depiction that we awaken on our workshop, yeah, as a game, I understand. It's, we imagine it, a state where I'm nourished constantly by mom and further circles. Yeah, imagine like an Indian tribe or tribes like we lived in thousands of years ago, etc. Okay, so we depicted this, and the purpose of this depiction and other depictions was in order for me to understand that in me there's a hollow that's thirsty for love, that it's something that can be fulfilled only by my spouse. Yeah. Okay, what do I do next? This is your most natural and closest partner, and here it's all only up to you and her. Up to the way in which you develop the connection of love. So suppose Nitza found that empty place inside of her that's thirsty for love, and I found that same place in me, so that's the first stage, and I came to the conclusion that I myself will never be able to fill it. You can't suddenly discover this great big space. You advance in trial and error, etc. Okay, I feel it to some extent. And every time that you discover this hollow, a hollow, first of all, you discover it egoistically. I want for it to be fulfilled. And then from that, you start understanding, okay, how can I fulfill it only mutually with the other, that I need to give this feeling to the other person too. And suddenly you discover, when I relate this way to the other, I even get a fulfillment as a result of relating to the other this way, and so does he, so there's mutual fulfillment here. Okay, that's a bit more advanced, so I want to ask, we touched upon there being an empty place in me that only the other can fulfill.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, now let's make a projection. What does it mean, like yourself, that just like you feel that place in you that's thirsty for love, take into account that she feels the same. In her, too, there's a place that can be fulfilled only by my love. So I can do that, too, suppose, to understand that, like, I want love, she wants love as well. But then you said, and now start fulfilling her. This is a leap, emotional leap, that I don't get. What do you mean? To understand that she loves, that she wants love too. Okay, I get it. Just like I do, she wants it. Fine. But the next step, this is where I lost you. Start doing what you want it to get. What you want for her to begin? What do you want from her? I want love. Love, what love? You said like a baby on his mother's arms. It's a matter of care, so you know what that is already, this kind of relation. Can you explain it? That's called as yourself. Love another as yourself. Only from as yourself can you learn how to bestow onto her. Right, but how do you reach a state where you give it to her? You want to receive it. What's this flip suddenly? I lost you. What I want, I understand very clearly. You brought me to it. And I can't give it to myself. Only someone can fulfill that place in the depth of my heart. But then suddenly, you put me into this new kind of work that I need to do. That, you know, okay, I can understand it intellectually, maybe, that if I give her, she'll give it to me. But what do I do with my heart? You awoke this little baby on his mother's arms in me, and he's not worried with how to give. He's all about how to receive, so I kind of lost you emotionally. What you're describing is not called love. You're describing here a certain fulfillment of passions, yearnings, desires. Love is something that comes above that as a fulfillment from loving someone. I enjoy giving. Tell me, please, what pleasure does a mom have when she takes care of her baby? Obviously, without pleasure, she throw the baby away, out of the window, without thinking about him anymore. We're controlled only by pleasure and pain. So she has pleasure as a result of taking care of him. I think it's the biggest pleasure in a mom's life. Right. So this is what I call love. That you take care of someone and that you get satisfaction, fulfillment from it, inspiration, excitement, such that it does not allow you to disconnect from caring about them. Here we're delving into things that, well, in the meantime, our time's almost up. But it's an ocean of things. A sea of love. Okay, so our time's really up. So what should we think about until our next show? to reveal the inner hollows. What do we want, based on the example of love another as yourself, to understand that it's only as yourself, that the inner yearning that I feel for the other's relation toward me, the same way I need to develop my relation toward them. And when we start working on it correctly, properly, I start feeling that I really fulfill myself, not as a baby waiting to be treated that way, even though that there's something in that too. The mom wants to receive something from the baby. She's waiting. Maybe he'll give her a smile. Maybe he'll give her something. She's expecting it. Suppose you're the dad and there's the baby. She's not looking at you. She's looking at the baby to get from him some kind of a response. So that out of this mutuality, we will understand that love means that I fulfill myself by fulfilling the other person. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. All the best.